Good morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama's Kofei. We're in Kuf Dal Amud Beis. We're going to be starting with Nasan Losa. Karen, we're right in the middle of the Amud of the two dots. Okay, so let us reset. We're working on a Mishnah here in the ninth parak of Baba Kama. The Mishnah tells us that, first the Torah tells us, that in the event that somebody makes an accusation that you owe money, either you stole the money or whatever the case was, it wasn't your money. You own wages. The Torah goes through an assortment of different scenarios where it's not your money, it's his money. So he comes at you and he just simply makes a very simple claim. Give me back my money. And you come back and you say, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't have your money. And not only that, but you compound your denial, your false denial, with a shvua, and you swear that you don't know the money, and then you're moda. So far you had a kfira, you had a shvua, and then you had a hoda. So under those circumstances where you deny, you swear, and then you admit that you falsely swore, so then the Torah says that you have to pay back three ramifications, Karen, Chomish, and Asham. So you're going to have to pay back the principal value of the item. You're also going to have to add 25%. And on top of that, you also have to bring a carbon asham. This is all found at the end of Parshas Vayikra, the tail end of the Parsha.
In that order.
Right? And specifically in that order. Correct. Okay, so what we're doing, as the Mishnah is wont to do, is come up with scenarios where there's going to be Karen, there's not going to be Chomesh. What are the scenarios? How do we view Chomesh? Okay, so the classic discussions that we have in our Gemara. And right now we're focusing on the line of the Mishnah that tells us, under what circumstances is there going to be chamish, and halachically, how do we view chamish? So Nelson loves the Karen. So the Mishnah tells us. I'm just reviewing the Mishnah because we're jumping off the Mishnah. So Nelson loves the Karen. Velo Nelson loves the chamish. So what happened was is that you put yourself in a situation where you're chayv Karen and chamish, and what you did is you paid the Karen and you didn't yet pay the chamish. And then when he comes at you and he says, "Yeah, you still owe me chamish," so what do? And when we read the Mishnah, you remember I commented back in the Mishnah that, you know, habits are hard to break. And so what happened in the Mishnah was is that he then denied the owing of the Chumash. Not only did he deny owing the Chumash, but he even swore that he doesn't owe the Chumash. Okay, and whatever. It's, you know, tragically funny, but he got here to begin with because of a false shvua, and now that he's trying to make good on his false shvua, so once again, he rebounds and makes a denial and a shvua on the chumash. Right. So now what happens is that now that he admits that he really did owe the chumash, now he has to pay the chumash. He also has to pay a chumash on the chumash. Good. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. And you can keep doing this. Hopefully he'll stop. But you can keep doing this until you get to the point where obviously the chumash is a reduction of the principles, 25% of it. Eventually what's going to happen is that the chumash is going to become less than a shava pruta. And then it just happens to be that you don't have the necessary quantity to even elicit any kind of payment. But that was the point of the Mishnah. Alma chumash mamonahu. So the first thing that we're going to be discussing today is that chumash categorically is what? It's mamon, obviously. I say obviously, by the way, you didn't have to say that. Meaning you could have said that chumash is just simply a kapara. It doesn't categorically fit under the category of money. You could have said that. But from our Mishnah, what becomes clear is that no, chumash is mamon. Why? Because the denial of the chumash and a shvua on the chumash and a hodah will result now in a new knas of chumash. So you see that chumash is mamon. So the Amo Chumash Mamonuhu, and Imeis Misham Le'Yorshin, and not only that, by the way, now that we put it under the category of Mamon, so now watch this. What happens when the person's Chayv Karen and Chumash and the person dies? So now, what happens to all of his obligations? All of his obligations devolve on the kid, and the kid therefore is going to have to pay it. In other words, the kid's going to have to pay the outstanding chov of Karen. The kid, the Yorish is also going to have to be paying the outstanding chov of the Chumash. Okay. Tananami. And not only that, Mishnah. The Nasa, Nesekar Menishbal Chamesh, Hare Mosif Chamesh Al Chamesh, Amma Chumsha Mamonahu. Good. And we could deduce it from the Mishnah. In fact, we just did it already. I'm not going to bother explaining. V'tayinami hachi. And not only that, we have a brisa supporting this as well. Goes with Chaver, V'nishbalo, Meis, Yorshim Hasham, Karen V'chamesh, Ptur Menasham. Okay. And you have a person who stole. And again, stealing via the Kfira, Hoda'a, sorry, Kfira, Shvua, Hodah, and then the person dies, so the kid has to pay Karen and Chumash. Now, I know we just said it, by the way, but here the Gemara had a Braisa that says it as well, so it just, obviously that is a source, it's a primary source. On top of that, the Braisa also points out that the child is not going to be paying a Karbon Asham, but that's Mistaber. In other words, of course. In other words, the only karbanos that you bring are the karbanos that you are obligated to bring. Right? Karbanos are not going to go to the next generation. The whole purpose of karbanos is kapara. And so therefore, once the father dies, he doesn't need the kapara anymore. The death becomes the kapara. And so the child doesn't bring the karbanashim. But the point that we're focusing on is that the child is going to be paying karen v'chomish. Why? Because chomish is mammon. So all we've been saying so far this morning is that chomish is mammon. So far, so good. The Gemara now has an opportunity to push back a little bit. The Yorshim b'nei Shlomi chum shodavun hava ureminu. The Gemara says, okay, but observe the following. We're going to see another brisa, and this brisa over here seems to be reporting differently that the child doesn't pay the chumash. Consider. So adai nani omer. The brisa is going off of the pasuk. The pasuk obviously at the end of Parshas Vayikra, right? The pasuk says asher gazal. And Asher Gazal is redundant. See the pasuk inside. But right now, trust me. You know what I always say. Don't trust me. But in other words, look everything up. But see the pasuk inside. Asher Gazal. When do I say that the son does not pay? The son is not going to be paying chomesh when there was no theft neither by the father nor by him. And again, when we're talking about theft over here, we're talking about denial, right? In other words, the whole parsha is about denial. In other words, there was no actual theft that occurred, although there could have been. But in other words, it's on the chiyuv is on the denial. Denial, shvua, and then hodah. So lo hu v'lo aviv. So hu v'lo aviv, aviv v'lo hu. Hu v'aviv minayin tamalam asher gazal v'asher ashak. V'hu lo gazal v'lo ashak. Okay. If there's any combination of father and son, if there's any combination, that too would create an exemption of chomish. Chomish is only going to be where there was one individual who did the kfira, shvua, hodah. But if it's a combination, any combination of father and son, so then there's not going to be a chomish. What comes out over here in this brisa that we just learned together is that there will not be a chiyuv of chomish. If the father was the one who did the kfira shvua hoda'a, and the father died, the son will not have a chiyuv of chomesh. That goes against everything we just said. We've been saying up until this point in time that the chomesh does go down to the child because the chomesh is mammon. That's what we've been saying. And not only we've been saying it, by the way, reinforced with a Mishnah, a Braisa. But meanwhile, the Gemara now has just quoted another Braisa that says no. So what do we do? So the Gemara goes on to explain. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Nachman lo kasha." So Rav Nachman says it's not difficult. Kancha hoda, kancha lo hoda, kancha lo hoda. So we're talking about the distinction between where the father made a hoda and the father did not make a hoda. So Gemara says, "Wait one second. Let's think about what we just said. If the father made a hoda, so then the father has a chiv of karen v'chomish. If then the father dies, then the chiv is going to devolve onto the kid. So far, so good. That's kancha hoda. That's the first part of today's shir." But then, as explaining the second braisa, lo hoda. The father didn't make a hoda. Gemara says, I need to think about that, and I really don't understand that. E lo hoda. So, karen nami lo mishalim. Wait one second. If there's no hoda, so then there is no payment. There's not even going to be principal. V'chitem achen nami de lo mishalim, v'hamidah kamahadar chomish lemem karen mishalim. And maybe you want to tell me, well, that's the right understanding of the braisa. It's not the right understanding of the braisa. Because all the braisa is telling us is cut out the chomish. Meaning if I'm cutting out the chomish, I'm obviously leaving the keren. So we're looking for a scenario where there is a keren payment, but there's no chomish payment. But the Gemara says, but I don't understand. Meaning if there's no hodah, there's neither a payment of the keren or the chomish. V'otanya, the Gemara says, and wait, there's more. V'adayin in the Omer HaMemesayim Misham Keren Al Gezo Aviv Bizman Shinishba Hu V'Aviv. Aviv Elohu, Huvelo Aviv, Lohu Velo Aviv, Minain Tamalamar, Gzela, Oshek, Aveda, Pikadon, Yesh, Talmud. Good. So over here now in this Braisa, so we say that there is an obligation to pay Karen at Chomesh. So over here we clearly have a Braisa that gives some description of a scenario where the kid is going to be paying Karen but not Chomesh. The Yosef Ravun, and the Braisa ended with the words Yesh, Talmud. Now, yes, Rav Huna v'kamer lashmait amar le'rabba b'rei yesh tamu kamar amar o yesh tamu kamar amar. Those last two words, I didn't hear it well. Meaning yesh tamud. If I say quickly yesh tamud, it could be understood as yesh tamu. So could you just repeat what you said at the last braisa? Those last two words, could you say it clearly? Did you say yesh tamud or yesh tamu? Yesh tamud meaning I have a drasha. I'm not telling you what the drasha is, but I have a drasha. That's yesh tamud. Alternatively, yesh tamu, meaning I don't have a drasha, but I think you should pay. Why do I think you should pay? Because I think you should pay. Meaning a svara. So could you just be clear? Amar la yesh tamud kamina. He says, okay, I'll try to be clear. Yesh tamud. Two words. I have a drasha. Omi ribu dekray amre. And it comes from the extra words in the pasuk. Meaning it's not a svara. I'm just telling you that based on the extra words in the pasuk, there's going to be a scenario where the kid's going to be paying keren, not chamish. Okay, so we're a little bit stuck right now. Chamish is mammon. Okay, in other words, right now, I know we just went through a lot of Gemara, but chamish is mammon, period. And therefore, if the father dies having this obligation of paying keren and chamish, those two, keren and chamish, are going to go down to the kid, and the kid's now going to have to pay keren and chamish. So far, so good. The problem is that now we have a brisa. The truth of the matter is we have two brisas that tells us there will be a scenario where the kid is not going to be paying chumash. Okay. And what we're trying to do now is just ascertain what's that look like. When is the kid not going to be paying chumash? Elamaya lohoda, lohoda aviv, lohoda beno. So over here, what we mean is the following, and that is that the father didn't make a hoda, but the son did make a hoda. Meaning that what happened is that the father stole. The father was accused. Father simply says denial. Not only that, the father made a shvua, but the father never made an admission. Okay, and then the father died. Now, after the father died, the son knows, and the son went over to the victim, and the son to the victim. Yeah, right, he stole. The son was moda. So the Gemara says now.
Yeah, he swore.
I'm sorry. Not only did the son admit. Sorry. In other words, the son was also leveled in accusation. Sorry. Right? The son was also leveled in accusation. He was also charged with, hey, right, you're holding my stolen goods. And he first was kofer. And then he made a shvua. And then he was moda. Meaning hoda by itself doesn't... We're only discussing hoda in the context of kfira and shvua. Okay, sorry.
But the son didn't steal himself. He just made on his father's...
Doesn't matter. In other words, the chiyuv of keren chomish and asham is on any money you owe that you deny. So over here, if it's money that he owed and he denied, that's significant. And therefore, he'd be chayev. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. So good. So now that we're trying to explain the second brisa, I don't understand. If the son had a kfira, shvua, hoda'a, so then he should be chayev, keren and chomish, on his own shvua. Good. So the Amri b'sheng zela kayem. So the Gemara says, well, here's what happened. And that was, is that that did steal the item. And then what did he do? Ate it, lost it. Item is no longer in existence. No. So the Gemara says, "Ee ain gzeil kayamis, I feel like carrying lo mishalim." So the Gemara says, really? That's so interesting. If that stole, and the item is no longer in this world, so the son does not have an obligation to return it. We will be learning this together in the 10th parak of Baba Kama. Meaning, what do you do with dad's stolen property? So if the stolen property is around, so you return it. But if the stolen property is not around, i.e. dad consumed it, dad lost it, dad spent it, whatever the case is, it's not here anymore, we're going to learn together in the 10th parak that there is no obligation for the son to return. We'll talk more about that in the 10th parak. Meanwhile, the Gemara says, if that's what we're talking about over here, so then there's no obligation for the son. Not keren, not chomish. So the Gemara says it's true the item is not there anymore, but dad did leave over as part of the estate property, and maybe the property there is to secure that obligation. The Gemara immediately jumps on this suggestion. So the Gemara says, this is an outstanding obligation that is not tied and secured to property. Why? Because it's not a written obligation. The only thing that properties are attached to are written obligations. It's true what dad did was wrong. He stole. He owes. That's all true. But that owing, that chov, that obligation is undocumented. Land is not going to be backing it up. Amri b'shamad b'din. So the Gemara says, okay, here's what happened. What happened was is that dad stole, and it's true that the item is no longer here, but before dad died, so what happened was is that he was accused, he made a dad didn't make a shvua. The kid made the shvua. Dad was accused, and they went to court, and the court ordered dad to return the item. Now we have a court order. A court order is documentation. And now there is an obligation outstanding, and it is documented because of a court order. Bishamad bedin. So, e bishamad bedin afilo chamash amim mishalim. So the Gemara says, okay, so now I don't understand. So the son now is inherited this obligation, and now went over to the son, okay, new? And the son says, don't know what you're talking about. And he denies, and he makes a shvua, and then he's mode. So the Gemara says, okay, so the son now should have to pay both Karen and Chamash. I know this Gemara is dizzying. I know it is. I'm also a little bit dizzy right now. I'm Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua Lefishein Misham and Chamash Akfir Shibat Karkios. Okay, so the Gemara says, I will tell you why it is that the son's obligation is Karen and not on Chamash. I'll tell you why. Because what happens now is that the victim goes over to the son and says, give me back my money. Your dad stole the item, although not here anymore, but there was a court order to return it to me. Now it's documented obligation. A documented obligation. I now have a lien attached to property. So now you're going to pay it back to me. And if not, I will exercise my lien. Good. So what happens now is that the son says, don't know what you're talking about. Makes a shvua. Okay, makes the matters worse. Why is the son not going to be paying chomish in such a scenario? It's really technical, but it's correct. And this is how the Gemara lands. The son's not going to be paying chomish because what is the shvua now on? The shvua is on the lien, i.e. the shvua is on property. What do we know regarding shvua and property? Ein nishpa'in al karkaos. There is no shvua on property. It is not a registered, legally valid shvua simply because it's going on property. That's why, although obviously the obligation is still outstanding, there was a court order of dad to go pay back the aggrieved. But the reason why the son is not going to be paying chomish is simply because the shvua now is going on karka and ein nishpa'in al karkaos. An extraordinarily technical path to get to the point where there's going to be an obligation of keren but not chomish on the son. Good. I admit that was complicated. I admit it. Rava Amar, hacha b'maiskin and kagon sh'aisa daiskai sh'olav v'mufkeda b'yad acherim. Rava says, I'd like to take a crack at this and I'll offer a different explanation. Again, we're looking for a scenario where the son's going to be paying Karen, but not Chomish. Okay, here's what happened. Dad stole. Dad died. We are not talking about where the Gzela is gone. Gzela is still there. Gzela is still there. Okay, so the kid should return it. Now, what dad did is that he stole and then he hid it by the neighbor. Okay? Obviously the neighbor was a very close and intimate friend of the father. And did a little bit of assisting and abetting. So what dad did is knocked on the neighbor's door and said, do me a favor. Could you just hang on to these stolen items for me? Perfect. And then what... perfect. What a drama. And now what happens is that dad dies. And now the son is confronted by the victim. Okay, dad stole from me. And now give it back to me. And the son says, don't know what you're talking about. I don't have any stolen items over here. I went over the entire estate. Right, the item that you say was stolen, it's not here. Don't know what you're talking about. Denies, makes a shvua. Okay, so the Gemara says now, under those circumstances, so dad's sack, his stolen sack, was placed in somebody else's property. So Karen Mishalim Da Isa. So now, finally, obviously, when the sack is discovered, so now the son has an obligation to return it. However, but the reason why you're not going to be paying chomesh is because when the kid made a shvua of the denial, he wasn't lying. In other words, when accosted and where's my stolen item, he legitimately didn't know where it was, and his denial was factual. It was truthful. And that's why the kid's not going to be paying chomesh. Okay. And obviously, there's not going to be a carbon asham under those circumstances as well. So it's just another way to come to a scenario in which the kid is going to be chayiv karen, but not chomish. Okay.
If the shvua is done to in front of a person, asks him, but he has to go to Beis Din.
Yeah. In other words, the shvua only is valid when it's done in front of Beis Din. He's being taken to Beis Din. Okay.
With a sefer, with everything, what do you call it, the kitas ayad.
It's a good question. I don't know. I think it's a shvua de rabbanan, but I'm not sure. In other words, it doesn't seem that way because there's a carbon involved. Okay. We could fall into the category of shorts of pikadon. All right, let's quickly recap. Let's wrap up our first topic of discussion today. Admittedly, this took us a little bit of time, but it was a complicated sugya. Okay, in other words, what happens is that in a situation where you deny, you swear falsely, and then admit that you swore falsely, so you're chayv karen chomish anasham. What we have just said in not such a short sentence is that chomish categorically is mamon. And therefore, if and when the father dies, having not paid, so that obligation now is going to devolve on the kid. The kid is going to have to be paying not only the keren, but the chomish as well. Ad kan. That brings us to the first part of today's daf. And there is a scenario, albeit complicated, where we could have a situation in which the child is going to be paying keren, but not chomish. But how we get there is complicated, and the Gemara gave us two scenarios of how that can happen. But that's not really the default. The default is going to be that the chomish is mamon and the kid's going to have to pay chomish. Okay. Amara Papa. Sorry, let me read the heading. Chutz mi papcha shav mi pruta bekeren. So, if what you have is stolen is less than a shav pruta, so there's no longer enough money. In other words, money has a shear. The shear is the shav pruta. This is a point that we hammer throughout the bavas. And so, therefore, if what you stole is less than a pruta, so then you're not you don't have an obligation to return it. Amra Papalo Shanu Allah Shain Xelakayamas of Xelakayamas Lele Chacharav Chayshin and Shematiyakir. Okay, so Rav Papa gives the Chiddush. And the Chiddush of Rav Papa is the following. What you stole was nominal. It was less than a Shava Pruta. You stole a single cucumber. Although I think a cucumber is probably more than a Shava Pruta, but you get the point, right? You stole a barley bean. Whatever the case is, you stole something that was less than a Shava Pruta. So now Rav Papa's Mechadish, that even though the item itself is less than a Shava Pruta, I'm going to argue that you have to return it. And even if it means with the expenses and all that, you're going to have to return it. Why are you going to have to return it? Because Rav Papa says, I'm concerned that even though its current valuation is less than a Shava Pruta, but you know what happens with the market, okay? Have you purchased eggs recently? Have you purchased gas recently? Okay. In other words, so Rav Papa says because of this concern of inflation and market fluctuation, so therefore you have to return it shema. It may go above a pruta. Now ika yes and afila madai and ika damri amar Rav Papa loshan zel kayemus loshan ishein zel kayemus and tzarich lelech acharav l'shema tiyaka lo cheshinan. In the second version, Rav Papa does an absolute flip. And that Rav Papa says, no, I'm not concerned that the price is going to go up. And if the item current value is less than a Shava Pruta, you don't need to return it. So how do we have these two versions of Rav Papa? It's very simple, at least in my mind. And that is that in the base measures, Rav Papa was equivocating on this very point. And so therefore, while discussing this topic, Rav Papa went one way and then upon further review went the other way. And because Rav Papa taught both versions find itself in the Gemara. Amar Rava, more. Kuf hey Amud Aleph, and about a third of the way down. Gazo shalshagudos b'shalsh prutos. So, you stole three bundles of vegetables. Okay, already I'm challenging the thief. What? Of all the things you steal is vegetables. Okay, in other words, whatever. Eat your vegetables, I guess, but I don't get it. Right? Anyway, but... And the three bundles were valued at three prutas, or to put it simply, one pruta per bundle. Great. Vehuzalu v'amdu ashtayim. Now what happened was that the price of vegetables went down, and now those three bundles are only valued at two prutas. You'll see where we're going, obviously. Now with two prutas, obviously, there's still an obligation to return because the current value of the item is two, which is obviously one more than one. Good. So, let's say he returned two bundles. Okay, great. You are doing a good job, but you have not gotten a check yet. Because in order to fulfill the mitzvah of a heshiv esagzela, you have to return everything you stole. So far, so good. But now, obviously, what the Gemara now is entertaining. The Gemara over here is sophisticated, obviously. In other words, serious people having serious thoughts over here. What is the Gemara's consideration? It's the following. Right now, the current evaluation of that last bundle is less than a pruta. Because right now, the current market value of all three is 2. Each one of them is less than a pruta. And now, if all you have but remaining with you is an item that you stole, the total theft was above a shava pruta. But right now, the remainder of what you have currently, you didn't fulfill the full mitzvah yet, because you didn't return everything. And what you have now currently remaining is less than a shava pruta. Maybe let's make an argument. Let's consider you don't have to return it because what you have remaining is less than a shava pruta. And what we're learning together, what Rav is telling us is incorrect. That's incorrect. Because the total gzela was exceeding a shava pruta, so therefore you have to return everything back, even though that which you have remaining is less than a shava pruta. Vitanatuna, and the Gemara says, and I'm supporting this. How do I know this? Based on a mishnah that we saw earlier in the Masechta. So you stole chametz before Pesach. Pesach is come and gone. It's now chametz avar lava Pesach. It is aser b'achila. It's aser b'hana. It has zero value. And yet what you can do now as a thief is take the single malt, return it back to the victim and say, look, I'm really sorry I stole it. Oh, by the way, what is its current value? 0. I'm really sorry about that, but here's what I stole. Here's what I'm returning. Hareisho chalafanecha. Okay, if it bothers you now, it probably bothered you 2 weeks ago when we did it back on Sadivav. Okay, good. Anyway, so time of disa beinei halei sabeinei. So halei sabeinei afagav dehashalav mamona kevin de mi kara mamona hu by shlume hachanami afagav dehasha lo shaver pruta kevin de mi kara have a shaver pruta by shlume. In other words, and the point is as follows. The chametz avar lav Pesach. Well, you're right, you have an obligation to return it. But its current value is 0. Yeah, that's its current value. The original value was whatever a single malt bottle is going to be. What a range, by the way, in pricing. As if I purchased it, by the way. I'm not a good drinker, which is probably a good thing. But one bottle, single malt, so it had an original value. After Pesach, it had a 0 value, but that's exactly the point. Meaning that because it had an original value, even though its current value is 0, you have an obligation to return. Here as well, your third bundle of vegetables, even though currently appraises for less than a pruta, but because it had an original value of a pruta, therefore you have an obligation to return.
That's what the Torah says. The Heshi was like Zela, Asher Gozal.
Right. Yeah, but in other words, but if the gzela has to have monetary value. If it doesn't have monetary value, there's no obligation to return. I hear you, but it has. But it's mamonos, and by mamonos has a shear. The shear of mamon is a pruta, less than a pruta. It's not mamon. It's not mamon less than a pruta. It's not right, but it's less than a pruta. There's no if what you stole was less than a shava pruta. There's no chiv of a shava. Okay, but now, good. So far, we pushed the envelope. Let's push the envelope even further. By Rava Gazel Shtei Agudos Bepruta Veichzilo Achas Mehen Mahu Amin and Hashalek Gzelo Dilma Halo Hadu Gzelo Dave Gabe. Okay, so now here's where we're going to push the envelope, and that is two bundles of vegetables, and the two bundles of vegetables are valued at a pruta, a single pruta. Do you have an obligation to return the two? Obviously. In other words, because it has the value of a pruta. Now, what if, let's say you go back to the victim and say, here's one bundle. Okay. You now have left one bundle by you. That one bundle that you left by you never had a value of a shava pruta. Only with the combination of the other bundle had a value of a shava pruta. Now, right, so here's where we're pushing the envelope. So now, that one bundle was always valued at a half a pruta, but it happens to be that you stole 2, therefore you had an original obligation of a shava. Do you still have an obligation of a shava where you only have half a pruta's value of vegetables by you? Good. Or perhaps, aloha duk zela davigabe, maybe there's no obligation to return it. And after asking the question, how depashta, so Rava thought, considered, reviewed, and he concluded, and that is Gzela Inkan, Hashava Inkan. So he came back with an answer which, quite frankly, was cryptic and not clear. Gzela Inkan, Hashava Yeshkan. So I don't understand. What does that mean? Gzela Inkan and Hashava Inkan. If there's no Gzela, so how could there be Hashava? Hachi Kamar. And so the Gemara says, okay, clarification. Afa Bishik Gzela Inkan, Mitzvah Hashava Inkan. Okay, so what we're saying is the following. There's no gzeila by you. Well, there's no gzeila by you. You have one bundle that you stole. Yeah, but you stole two, and the two totaled one pruta. So now, as you return the first bundle, what do you have left by you? Something that is halachically not significant. It's less than a pruta. So to the question of, is there gzeila by you? Halachically, the answer is no. Did you fulfill the mitzvah of hashava? The answer here too as well is going to be no. Because even though you have less than a pruta left by you, but because what you originally stole was two of them, and the two total were one pruta, so in order to properly fulfill the mitzvah of hashava, you must return both. In other words, Rava's answer, now let's dilute, let's make it nice and simple. Rava's answer is, you absolutely have to return both. Even though you return the first, and what's left by you is less than a shava pruta, but because the total was a pruta, therefore you must return the second one as well. Okay. We're going to go off and into a tangent, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this tangent. I will be running through these two Gemaras, perhaps a little too quickly. They're tangential points. The reason why these two points are coming up over here is because of that language we just heard of Gzela Inkan, Hashava Inkan. So we're gonna use that same language in two other areas of halacha. Amar Rava, Hare Amru, Nazir Gilech Vashir Shtei Saros, Lo'asav Lo'klum by Rava, Gilech Achas V'Nisha Achas Mahu. Okay, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Giluach, you're a Nazir, and either you become Tame or you're concluding your Nazirus, either one of them. So you have to shave your head. The shaving of your head requires you to shave off all the hair of your head down to the last two hairs. All the hair on your head has to be shaven. And what if you have two hairs left? You shaved all your hairs but two. You have not fulfilled the mitzvah of Giluach. That's the Mishnah. Oddly enough, by the way, it's a Mishnah Negayim. Regardless. So Amalei Ravacha Midifta Ravina. I'm sorry. And Rava's question was, what if you got to the last two hairs, you shaved one of them, and the second one fell out? So Amalei Ravacha Midifta Ravina Nazigilech Achachas Kami Be'alei Rava. What's Rava asking? Is Rava asking whether or not you're allowed to shave your head one hair at a time? Is that what he's asking? Meaning, if, let's say, you're down to your last two hairs, you shaved the second to last hair, and the last hair fell out, so haven't you successfully shaven off all your hairs, meaning all the hairs that are there? The fact that the last hair fell out, so what? So the Gemara says, Amar Leh Lo Tzricha, Shenishra Achas Mehem B'Gilach Achas Mehem. Mi Amrin and Hashem Mi'alek Ashir, Odeh Ma'alav Giluachu, Demikara Hashay Shtei Saros, V'Hashay Ki Gilach Lo Havi Shtei Saros, and Hadapashta Seirin Kan Giluach Ein Kan. So the Gemara says like this. Here was the question that Rava was posing, and that is that you're down to your last two hairs. You're down to your last two hairs. Now, in order to do the mitzvah of Giluach, so number one, as we already pointed out, you have to shave off all your hair. Number two, that there's a shear of Giluach, meaning for it to even qualify as Giluach, you must be shaving two hairs. There must be two hairs to shave, right? Remember the Gemara Nazir that talks about somebody who literally has no hair on his head. Is it possible for him to do the mitzvah of Giluach? See the Gemara Nazir, I forgot which stop that was. So over here now, you have the two hairs, and you're ready to do the mitzvah of Giluach. It just happens to be, oops, one of them just fell out. So now, the problem is the following, and that is, you're trying to do Giluach, but Giluach means that you have to be shaving two hairs. So, when posed with that question, what was his response? So, Seir Ein Kan, Giluach Ein Kan. No hair, no Giluach. And again, E Seir Ein Kan, Giluach Yesh Kan. So what do you mean? If there's no hair, that means you did Giluach. The Gemara says, no, that's not what he meant. What he meant was, Hachikama. Afa pisha seir ein kan, mitzvah Giluach ein kan. Despite the fact that right now you have no hair, but you didn't do the mitzvah of Giluach. Why? Giluach requires that you have to be shaving two hairs. And you didn't shave two hairs. Okay. And what you're going to have to do, the Gemara doesn't follow up, but what you have to do is you have to let the hair grow back. Once the hair grows back, then shave again. Okay. Anyway. I know I did that really quickly, and now I'm going to do the next one also really quickly. Amar Rav Hari Amru, here we have a Mishnah in Kalim. Okay, so we're in Taharos today, just, you know, tangentially. We just did a Mishnah in Nagayim, and now we're doing a Mishnah in Kalim, right? Remember, Kalim, we just talked about, it has 30 prakim, just like the Bavas at one point in time also was made up of 30 prakim. Okay, so the Chav Shenikva Visasmu Shmarim. Heat Silu. Okay, so what do I have? The Mishnah Kelim is describing a construct which happens very often in when we're discussing Tumas Meis, and that is I have a first floor, I have a second floor. If I have a good partition between the first floor and the second floor, otherwise known as a ceiling to the first floor, a floor to the second floor, and there's Tumas Meis on the bottom, so the Tumas Meis is going to go up, stop by the ceiling of the first floor, and then not go up any further. If there's a hole between the two, so the Tumah is going to go permeate through the hole. If the hole is stopped up, so then what's going to happen is that it will stop the Tumah from going. So what do I have? I have a chavis, I have a barrel. And so visasmu shmarim. But the barrel has a hole in it. So the barrel now with the hole is not going to stop the Tumah from going up. And visasmu shmarim, and what do I do? Is that I take sediment in order to plug it up. So hitzi luha. So in other words, that is a good plug for the barrel, and the barrel now will be a partition separating the tumah from floor number one, floor number two. Okay, good. Now by Rava Agav Chatzia Mahu, let's say now what we do is that we plug up the hole, but only half of the hole. So Amalei Rav Yemel Rav Ashilav Mishnah Seinu Idinan. So here we have the Mishnah and Kalim. Chavishin Ikva Vesasmo Shmarim Hitzi Luha. Okay, so the first part of the Mishnah we already did. Now Pakakub is Mara Ad. So let's say the plug over here is I use vines to plug it up, right? Vines are not particularly good ways to plug up the hole, but I use vines. So there you have to use pitch in order to make sure that the vines stay there. Let's say I plug it up with two vines. So there I got to put pitch in on all the gaps. So time of the marach halomarach lo amai b'tehavei ki agav chatzia. So the Gemara says, now I don't understand. In other words, if I've got vines covering most of the hole, so why do I have to put pitch in between them? So Amri, so they said hachi hashta, not a comparison. Hasami lo marach lo kai agav chatzia means the kai kai. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you. In other words, when I have half of it covered up, but with strong adhesion, so there it's going to stay. But if I have the vines are not going to stay. It's not a fair comparison. Okay, perfect. Okay, those were two tangential points. We are now back to our discussion. Amarava, Hari Amru, Gazal Chametz Avralav Pesach Hamalah Reisha Chalafanecha. Okay, we already know. We saw this in the Mishnah earlier. We reviewed it already this morning. And that is that I steal my friend's chametz before Pesach, and then I hang on to it over the duration of Pesach, and now chametz shavar lava Pesach has zero value, yet what I can do after Pesach is I can go back to him, knock on the door, here's the single malt, I apologize, we're good, right? Now, the truth of the matter is that I can totally understand that he's not going to be happy with you, but notwithstanding, you fulfill the mitzvah of a heishav hasegzela, even though currently it has no value. By Rava. Nishba alav mahu. Okay, now, here we go. After Pesach, he comes over to your house, knocks on your door, and says, look, I know you stole my single malt. I know you did. Right? I have it on video. Okay. my ring saw the whole thing. Okay. Now, and I also know right now currently that it doesn't have any value because it's Chamish Avar Lava Pesach. But can you do me a favor? Can you just give it back to me?
After Pesach.
After Pesach. Okay. Well, right. A lot of dysfunction going on over here in the story, but notwithstanding. All right. Obviously, the Gemara over here is interested in the following analysis. And what does this guy do? I deny. Okay. Now, I know, by the way, he's got video evidence, and can that be used in a court of law? And that's a modern question, which I'm not equipped to answer. Okay, but whatever. But he denies it. Okay, really. Okay, let's go to court. They go to court, denies it in court, makes a shvua, and then after making the shvua, now he admits. So the denial is on something that had value, but currently doesn't have value. Now we're cooking. So now the question of the Gemara is the following. Is a denial on something currently that has zero value, is that going to elicit a requirement of Karen, Chomish, and Asham? There we go. Now we're cooking. So the Gemara says, Mi Amrinan. So just read in the Gemara. Mi Amrinan. Right? Yeah, we turn the page. Sorry. I usually highlight when we do that. So Mi Amrinan. Came the Mignav by Shlomele, Mamonaka Kafrale, Odoma Hashemia Hamanach, Afra Bamahu, Velo Kafrale Mamona. So over here, there was a kfira, there was a denial followed with a shvua on something that was worth money, but currently is not worth money. When you denied it, it had zero value. So does this now, is this going to be a legal denial? Great question. Milsa diabai le rabba pshita le rabba. Rava was wondering, rabba was not. I know it's confusing. One's with an alf, the other's with a hay. So da amar rabba, shari ganafti vo amar lo ganafti. So over here, consider the following, and that is an accusation. You stole my shore. He said, no, I didn't. So mativo etzlecha. Okay. So I know you're claiming you didn't steal my shore, but I'm looking in your property right now. There he is.
Strange.
Strange, right?
It looks like it.
Yeah, that's mine. Oh. Okay. Okay. So Shomer Chinam Ani Alav. So he says, oh, you don't remember? You asked me to watch it for you as an unpaid custodian, a Shomer Chinam.
You forgot.
So Chayav. Now, under those circumstances now, he's going to be Chayav. He's going to be Chayav, meaning he's going to be Chayav for Karmen Shua. Shari Patar Asma Begneva Vaveda. And here's where it gets really interesting. In other words, what did you do? Meaning, you're going to give it back to him. Meaning, you're admitting it's his. Why would you be chayev? And so follow over here. This is it's a really subtle point, but please follow. It took me a while to wrap my head around it. And that is because in your claim, which was false, and you swore to it, and then you made an admission. In your claim, what you're doing is that you are lessening your financial burden, right? In your claim, you're saying you're a Shomer Chinam. You are admitting it's his. You are, of course, going to return it to him. But as a Shomer Chinam now, what happens by Geneva Va'aveda? Your putter. Ah. So now... In other words, correct. But he did it. In other words, he made a Shavua. He went. In other words, the case went to court, and in the court case, he claimed I'm a Shomer Chinam, and then afterwards he admits that he lied. In other words, in the claim, because now there is going to be a loosening of his financial obligation, that now, even though of course his liability includes returning it, but in a circumstance of Geneva Vaveda, he will be exempt. So it will be relief of him, albeit a little bit of relief, in the event. That's enough to be considered kfiras mamon. And I know that's an extraordinarily subtle point, and let's keep going. Very similar. So Shomer Sochar Ani Alav Chayav Sharei Patras Mishvura Mesa. Now, even if his false claim was, I was a Shomer Sochar, that's also a little bit of relief. In the event that the animal dies, right? Machmas Malacha. No, not yet. Shvura Mesa. Right? The animal breaks a leg. Animal dies. A Shomer Sachar doesn't have to pay for those events. So his false claim of Shomer Sachar also relaxes a little bit of his liability. That's also considered Kfiras Mamon. Also, Shol Ani Alav. Even if he makes a false claim that he borrowed it. Again, he swore. He denied. He said he's a Shoal. He swore, and then he admitted. That also is a kfiras mamon. Why? Because over here, sharei patar atzma mimeitza machmas malacha. Now, there's very little that is going to relieve a shoal from liability, but there is a case of meitza machmas malacha. You worked the animal properly, and the animal just simply died. You didn't overwork it. You didn't overstress it. In other words, this is what's called meitza machmas malacha. The shoal will be patar. Right? I borrow somebody's car. The engine stalls, right, while I was driving. Shoal's putter. Okay, again, that's, you know, the whole thing gets much more complicated, but just to, you know. Alma, what do you see over here? Afagav da hakayim kevin di migna mamona kafar hashanami mamona kafar hakanami afagav da afra bamahu kevin di migna by shlumale mamona ma'alya hashanami mamona kafar le. And what do we see according to Rabba with a hey? And that is if your denial will possibly relieve you, not currently, but possibly relieve you of a monetary obligation, that is a kfiras mamon. It is no different than Chamish Avar Lava Pesach. Meaning Chamish Avar Lava Pesach, even though its current value is zero. What happens if, let's say you don't have that bottle single malt scotch that you stole. Now, the guy comes over to you and says, you stole from me. And what if you don't have the bottle anymore? Somebody drank it. What are you now going to do? You're going to have to pay. So if something doesn't have value, but it represents value, it can cause value, like Rav Chaim said just moments earlier, it's a davar goren la mamon, so then that's considered a kfiras mamon. Beautiful. Okay, so where we are right now is in an incredibly subtle and important discussion regarding what are the limitations, what is the definition of kfiras mamon. Kfiras mamon, the denial of money, so obviously the denial of money would be the denial of money, but if something is... Oof, that came out strong today. So kfiras mamon is obviously denying money, but also would it include things that don't currently have value, but could result in value, like the claim that you're a shomer chinam shomer sachar shoel, which may result in a dismissal of liability, or in the case of chamish avar lava pesach, where even though currently it doesn't have value, but in its absence, you're going to have to pay. Okay, so it represents value. It's a garm lamamon. Good. Rabbis of the position that davar garm lamamon, it is considered mamon, and therefore, when you're kofar on it, you are being kofar mamon. We're going to pause over here.